Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Clare FM, the IBI, and funded by Cumasna Man with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Welcome to another episode of Ours to Protect on Clare FM. Electric vehicles, or EVs, play a central role in Ireland's climate action plan. The Irish government has targets of reaching 180,000 EVs on our roads by the end of this year and almost 1 million by 2030. This is part of Ireland's ambitious climate action plan target of a 51% reduction in transport emissions by 2030. People are slowly moving to electric vehicles, while many still have questions about EVs, including these primary school pupils.
What difference does driving an electric car make?
Will there always be petrol and diesel cars, or will they all be gone one day?
Are electric cars more friendly to the environment?
Are they totally emission free?
Are electric cars more sustainable?
Can changing over to an EV really help climate action?
Will we all be driving electric cars in the future?
Are people really switching to EVs because they are worried about climate change?
While many consider electric cars to be a relatively new invention, the first vehicles were actually produced in the early 19th century. Only in the past 25 years have car companies seriously begun researching and building EVs. But when did electric vehicles become more common in Ireland? Eddie Rinn is general manager of Shields Motor Group.
I would guess, Pat, about 2017, 2018 was when the manufacturers would have informed us that the electric vehicle scene was going to get a lot more serious and that there would be huge changes in the motor industry in the next decade. Some of the manufacturers even at that stage decided that they would stop building combustion engine vehicles, that they would pull back in building combustion engine vehicles, and that they would start developing EVs, hybrids and other powertrains to run these vehicles. You have three different type of hybrids. You have a self-charging hybrid, which is a hybrid vehicle that runs on petrol, has a pretty large electric motor, and the vehicle is constantly changing from fuel to electric as it sees fit. You then have a plug-in hybrid, which is a vehicle that normally would have a reasonably small battery, approximately 50 to 60 kilometre range, which is very, very popular with people living in the outskirts of towns and cities where they can do a lot of their driving on solely electric, and then if they need to do the long journey they have a fuel tank and basically they just switch over and drive on fuel. And then you have what's known as a mild hybrid, which is a vehicle that runs on fuel all the time, has a second battery inside the vehicle which is constantly charging as you're driving, and that basically runs all the electronic functions within your car but does not turn the wheels.
When the manufacturers told you to expect a lot more EVs to come your way, were people asking about EVs before then? How far back can you remember, Eddie, that people were asking about EVs?
People would have been asking before then. I suppose people did take notice to climate change well before that. And yeah, you would have some people that would certainly have been asking about electric vehicles. There were electric vehicles, obviously, going back for many, many years before that. But in my memory, it was probably from in around then that the manufacturers who would be the, I suppose, probably the people that we would really listen to, and they're the people that make these vehicles, and obviously these decisions are made at a much higher level than where we are. And when you see them telling you there's huge changes coming down the track, that's when you know that something serious is going to happen.
What about the combustion engine? Will that be phased out eventually? Have you been told when that might happen?
We haven't been told when it will happen. We would feel that yes, it will phase out. As to whether it phases out completely, there's no definitive answer to that just yet. But we can see from all our manufacturers that we deal with here, we have five different manufacturers that we deal with, their plans are very much along the lines of electric vehicles going forward. So that would indicate to us that yes, the combustion engine will, the availability will be obviously lesser and lesser.
So there will be a time when you won't be selling petrol or diesel engines?
There probably will, Pat, but I would think it will be a long way down the track. Now, having said that, hybrids are very, very, very popular in rural areas. Hybrids seem to be selling very, very well across Europe. I still feel that there's still a lot of life left on the hybrid vehicle, which obviously has a combustion engine.
When someone comes in here to you or your colleagues and they want to find out about an EV for the first time, what are the main questions they're asking you?
Probably the first question they'd ask the sales teams here is, should they buy an electric vehicle? Most people are looking for the advice from the salesperson that they trust. So a lot of people, okay, they'd have some research done on the vehicle coming in, but they're obviously scared. I suppose the electric vehicles did get quite a bit of bad press maybe over the last kind of 3 to 4 years, unfortunately. That, thankfully, has all changed now, and people have realised just actually how good these vehicles are, how reliable these vehicles are. A huge part of the sale of an electric vehicle is the person getting the right vehicle for them? Are they getting the right size vehicle and the right battery size, which is probably the most important thing. In the old days, people used to ask about an engine. Do I need a 1.4, do I need a 1.6 or 1.8? Now it's kilowatt battery. What size kilowatt battery do I need? Our sales guys would always discuss the type of driving the person does, the type of mileage they do per week, per annum, per month, and they would always try and advise them into the correct battery size that they need and what would the best requirement for them.
They have an idea. Some people, yes, they have their research, yeah, done. They have an idea of what they're, yeah, looking for. They're needing some more expert advice then afterwards to steer them. Are most people buying EVs, Eddie, because they're concerned about the environment? They're aware now of climate change and climate action. When your customers come in here looking for an EV, are they concerned about climate change?
Very much so. To be fair, I think people have really grasped the importance of climate change. Yes, when they're making a big purchase like a motor vehicle, obviously the cost of the purchase is very much in their minds. But yeah, we would feel everybody purchasing the electric vehicles with us, the main reason for doing it is climate change. Obviously value for money and running costs and all that come into it, but it's in every conversation, to be fair, Pat.
It can be a big investment, a big outlay. If people are doing it for environmental reasons, that's admirable. Others might do it for money reasons, but there are savings down the road because you don't have to be changing oil. You mentioned less moving parts as well. So there's that advantage if you buy an EV.
Yes, and what's a very, very important point to make now is the cost of purchasing EV vehicles is very much more affordable than it was, for instance, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. That it's almost on a parity with a lot of vehicles. Now, there are extremely good electric vehicles off the shelf for in the region of 18,500 to 19,000 euros, which is possibly cheaper or as cheap as a small combustion engine vehicle. A lot of incentives there to actually go out and buy an EV.
What about grants? And is enough being done to help people? Because the government is telling us we're going to have to go to EV eventually. So surely they should be helping us. Is there enough being done?
I absolutely agree they should be helping us. There is a grant there of 3,500 euros on the initial purchase, and there is a grant for the wall box of 300 euros. Both of them have been decreased in the last 2 to 3 years. That the purchase grant was 5,000 euros. The wall box grant was 600 euros. I definitely feel more needs to be done, especially for the person coming in with the older vehicle, trying to make that big leap and trying to get across and into a new EV. Those people, I feel, need more assistance. I know it has been mentioned in the media in the last couple of weeks and maybe months that a lot of people feel there's room for a scrappage scheme. At the end of the day, it's all about the environment. It's all about reducing our carbon, and it's about getting old vehicles, old high polluting vehicles off the road.
John Casey is an EV owner and founder of the Clare EV Owners Group. He believes people are moving to electric vehicles for different reasons, including environmental. He made the transition himself a few years ago.
I was in the market for a new car in 2017. My circumstances had changed work-wise. I had more miles to drive than heretofore because I was driving more, and I was conscious of the environment. I worked in a job with environment before. I knew the story. I said to myself, would there be a comfortable car with enough range to do the type of driving that I was going to do? And I called into a showroom and I fell in love with the car. I thought it was very comfortable, very modern, techie. The car I had was about 6 years old, so I was fortunate that I was able to sell it privately, handily enough. So that's why I bought initially in 2018, which was, I would be considered probably an early adopter, insofar as there wouldn't have been too many EVs on the road in 2018. either in the county or anywhere else, you know.
So the environment was very much at the front of your mind when you were changing your cars. Was it a big move all the same?
Absolutely. It's a completely different mindset in terms of driving. Some would say, I mean, so you have to stop now every so often to charge up if you're on a long journey. And I said, well, you know, the car has a range. At that stage, the car had a range of about 250 to 300 kilometres. I mean, I'm going to have to stop anyway. I'm in my 50s. The bladder range is about as much as the EV range. So from that point of view, I said to myself, it's not a major inconvenience, but it is a change of mindset. You have to sort of plan your journey. I've said, geez, I better make sure I've plugged it in tonight and be leaving on a full charge because I'm heading a long journey. And I better figure out where the hell I'm going on the journey. Can I pull in here? Is there chargers here and all that? And you learn about all these things as you go along. You learn about, okay, I'm heading to a workplace. Is there workplace charging? So it was an absolute change of mindset to be able to handle it. Absolute. At the time.
We've seen a very large increase in the number of people driving EVs to the point where there are now groups of people and associations or organisations.
Yes, so essentially in 2017-2018, I had already set up the Tesla Owners Ireland group. There was no group. And I said to myself, okay, well, what other groups are out there? And there is an Irish EV owners group, anyway, which I'd been a member of from the start as well. It had been up and running. But there was also county regional groups as well. So I got to meet like-minded EV owners within the county, and we set up Clare EV Owners group as well. It's simply just a Facebook group. It's a bit of a support group for people who are either interested in EVs or already have EVs. And, you know, we've essentially mentioned about what chargers have just been installed around the county, if chargers are being upgraded or chargers are in fault or whatever, and, you know, where to go for maintenance, etc., etc. So, I mean, it is a little bit of a support group that has grown organically. Obviously, when we started it, there was only a small group of people. We even knew one another. But there's well north of 500 people within that group now at this stage.
And have you found, John, as well, that people are moving or transitioning over to EVs far more easily because access to chargers and other requirements are improving? Are we getting better in that sense?
Well, they are improving. But unfortunately, one of the biggest factors out there is misinformation. And that's, thankfully, you've allowed us to talk to you about EVs and dispel some of the myths of EVs. So a lot of disinformation is out there, or misinformation. One being the range, two being the infrastructure. So, I mean, the range is of a modern EV, 300, 400 kilometres, absolutely suitable for the driving needs of 99.9% of drivers around the place. The infrastructure, people say, oh, they're not working or whatever. There's a substantial investment gone into EV infrastructure in the recent times, including banks of chargers, so that you're not dependent on a sole point when you get to it that might be fully charged or somebody utilising it for an hour or whatever. That's not the case anymore. You have banks of chargers, hubs is what they call them around the place. A lot of misinformation about the environmental benefits of them. People saying, oh, so there's cobalt in them and there's cobalt mining and all that. The newer batteries have no cobalt. No cobalt whatsoever. Yes, there's lithium, but there's misinformation about the lithium mining process as well and the environmental impacts of it. As well as that, people turn a blind eye to the environmental effects of drilling for oil, transporting for oil and everything else. And there's also probably not enough awareness out there about the fact that if you have access to home charging, and I would say it's very prudent if you're buying an EV, it's very prudent to have access to a home charger or access to a work charger or whatever. Because if you have access to there, your running costs are probably, they're a fraction, one quarter of the running costs of putting petrol or diesel into a car. I've also found it very beneficial not to be driving into a smelly petrol station and pumping petrol or diesel into a car. And I've known about it for years, haven't done it. It's not the most pleasant. You don't have to do it anymore. You can charge up at home if you have the benefit of it.
Have you found as well, John, that other EV owners are actually going over from the combustion engine to EV for environmental reasons?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure it's a consideration. But at the end of the day, I think people do consider financial irrespective. People are a little bit more savvy They're going to the internet, they're checking out groups like our Clare EV Owners Group, they're going into the showroom, not listening only to the car salesman, they're maybe chatting to a neighbour that has EV, and from that point of view, they're making their mind up themselves. They have a lot of information out there now, they're doing a small bit of research. They can understand the running cost, they can understand the upfront cost at this stage, so you are getting that.
There we heard from EV owner and founder of the Clare EV Owners Group, John Casey. We also heard from Eddie Rinn, General Manager of Shields Motor Group. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Ours to Protect.